The Athletic.
Let's talk about six, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about six.
It's firmly away. Hit by Thiago! Whoa, what a hit! Thiago with only his second goal in a Liverpool jersey. And that'll take some beating. Zaidu has missed this one, Mohamed Salah. Henderson back into Salah, who scores.
5 out of 5 in the Champions League. The Reds are scoring at will, and add to the mix a Champions League stunner from Thiago and a debut in the competition from the impressive Tyler Morton. The European picture looks pretty good, doesn't it? I'm Steve Hoversall. This is the Red Agenda. Simon Hughes and Kiva O'Neill with me today on the pod. And this incredible Champions League run just keeps rolling on, Kiva.
Yeah, I mean, this was labelled the group of death, wasn't it, for Liverpool? But they've absolutely bossed it. I think the stat that sort of sticks out to me was the one that Liverpool have more points, 15 combined, than any of the other teams in the group, which is, going into this, I don't think any of us would have thought that was possible. And, you know, being at Anfield last night, sitting next to Si, and, you know, the feeling of just Liverpool playing a Champions League group stage game towards the end of the group and them not riding on it was almost weird. It was just a weird experience, because usually Liverpool leave it to the last game, the last minute, you know, something like that. They do it the hard way. But yeah, Liverpool have been incredible, and a changed team last night. You know, young player like Tyler Morton coming into the picture and looked relatively easy for them.
Yeah, just picking up on that idea of no pressure on them, Si. You could almost feel that in the stadium, I think. A little bit unusual. They bagged the win. Jurgen said he'd respect the competition. I think he did with that lineup. Sadio played, Mo played, Alisson played.
Yeah, I was most surprised to see Alisson and Joel Matip play more than Mane and Salah in some ways, because obviously the goalkeeper is so integral to what Liverpool have achieved over the last couple of years, and he didn't necessarily need to play, I guess. Obviously, Joel Matip's injury problems are quite well documented, and he's been a really, really good performer for Liverpool this season. I'd say he's been the best defender. So I was quite surprised to see both those players in. Not so much Mane and Salah, mainly because they're not going to be available to Jurgen Klopp in January. So might as well use them now, I suppose, to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on that in the last pod, Si, and actually, there's still a really busy December, isn't there, though?
Of course there is, yeah. But the Salah and Mane, you know, they can play most games, really. They miss very few games. Of all the players who are going to get rotated, I would say they're probably going to be the least rotated. So it's mainly in the midfield, which will get rotated. And then defensively, as I said, you've got some sort of concerns about the durability of some of those players in that area, maybe. But yeah, I mean, he did still make, I think, was it 4 changes to the team that beat Arsenal, which wasn't quite as many as I thought he would make. There was obviously a lot of talk about a few of the other young players coming in, but they played for the under-19s in the youth league against Porto early in the day, which Kiva went to watch. So, but I think, to be honest, I mean, I really enjoyed the second half. I thought it was quite a staring performance from Liverpool in the second half. You know, the first half, Porto with a better team. But I think it was a strange game for them as well, because they knew that no matter what happens in this game, they will still have the destiny in their own hands, because, you know, that they know that if they beat Atletico Madrid, regardless of any of the result last night or Atletico's result against AC Milan, if they beat Atletico in Porto next month, they will go through. So they didn't seem to really go for it either. And I think it just contributed towards that feeling, that sort of feeling of it didn't quite matter in the first half. But then I think it needed a goal, you know, like Thiago's goal was a bit like the Arteta moment on Saturday, where not much was happening and suddenly something spectacular happened and it all went off. And Liverpool from that point on were excellent, I thought, really passed the ball well. Looked like they could have scored, you know, maybe 4 or 5 goals in the second half. So Really big moment for Thiago in his Liverpool career, potentially, I think, because he needed something like that to experience the sort of the noise of the crowd when he achieved something. And he was unlucky in the first half because I thought Sadio Mane's goal, I mean, to have that disallowed for offside, you know, his arms are down by his side, he's not even leaning in to run. So it's just basically his elbow being offside while his arms are straight. I just don't see what advantage he's got there. But that would have been one of the great Champions League passes from Thiago. So it was a great performance from him. So definitely a game of some worth for a fair few players, I would say.
Right, let's talk about that Thiago goal. And thank you for listening to the Red Agenda. And to celebrate Black Friday, you can now take advantage of our best deal of the year. Subscribe to The Athletic for a special price of just £1 a month for 12 months. £1 a month for 12 months. Hurry, the offer ends at midnight on Monday, November the 29th. Great analysis, in-depth features from the best football writers around, as well as ad-free versions of the podcast, so head to theathletic.com/Liverpool pod to take advantage of the best deal ever. And one of those brilliant articles is about this incredible goal from Thiago. I think one of the great Anfield goals, Kiva. You've written about it.
Yeah, I think so. As soon as it went in, it sort of zipped past us all. But like, I think the best goals are always the ones that feel like time stands still. And that was definitely one where that happened. I mean, the Porto players definitely stood still. The Liverpool players did. Everyone inside the ground was sort of motionless. How can you even explain that goal? I mean, I've tried to break it down as best I could, but it's just wizardry, isn't it? Thiago is a wizard. He looked that way last night, and it hasn't always for him, like Si sort of alluded to. It hasn't always worked out for him at Liverpool. I think him coming in, we all felt like, right, this is it. Liverpool are going to go and boss the league, boss it in the Champions League, and it didn't quite happen, obviously, with his injury, and then he's had injuries this season, and, you know, hopefully, I think he looked back to his pomp last night, you know, some of the passes he was playing are passes that other players just can't play. That goal was just special. I think shout out to Nico Williams for somehow quickly getting out the way of it in time. I think the way it just sort of hissed its way through the grass was just nice. I think it did touch the ground, but it almost was lifting up all the time. And then at the very end, it just sort of went, yeah, I'll just get a bit, nip in a bit closer to the post just to make sure the goalkeeper can't get anywhere near to it. A special player, a special moment. You know, I think Thiago needed that, his first Champions League goal for Liverpool. I think he, as I said, you know, he was brought in to take Liverpool to a next level, to take Liverpool's midfield to a next level. Because that's always been the part of Liverpool's team that has been, you know, the one that Klopp's rotated over the years, and just sort of, you know, it's never felt like a permanent thing as much as, say, the front three has for such a while before, obviously, Jota came to Liverpool. So I feel like, you know, if we can see more of Thiago, it'll only be a good thing for Liverpool.
Si, I could see you laughing when I said one of the great Anfield goals. But actually, all right, there was nothing riding on it, but technically, it was amazing. And actually, in real time, when I watched it, I thought, oh, great, that's a long-distance strike. But it's only when I watched it later on, I think I fully appreciated it. Was it the same with you?
It was a great goal, Steve. I'm not going to deny that. But there have been a lot of great Anfield goals.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about this. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. It's just such a clean strike. It was like Steven Gerrard, you know, similarities with the Olympiacos goal, I suppose, where low rising, hits it right on the sweet spot. The goalkeeper's got absolutely no chance. I think what I liked about it most is Liverpool, under Jurgen Klopp, haven't really scored that many goals from outside the box. It feels that way anyway. I might be totally wrong, but it feels like they haven't scored a huge number of goals outside the box. A lot of the goals are often sort of, you know, get to the touchline, cut it back, and if a midfielder's there, that's how he scores. Whereas this, it was a blockbuster. So, yeah, a fabulous goal. I agree what Kiva says in the sense that, you know, the best goals often do make time feel like it stands still. And despite the speed at which he had the shot, it seemed to still take an age to hit the back of the net because he was so far out. But yeah, a great moment for him because I think he's needed it because it hasn't been easy for him at Liverpool. I absolutely love watching him play. I think he's a brilliant footballer. I really, really want him to do well. I think all Liverpool fans want him to do well, want to see him, you know, get a rhythm into his game and want to see him sort of become a really influential player. And I hope this is the trigger point for him because I watched him coming off the pitch and very clear, you know, that his teammates really like him. He must be a good team player, I think. You know, he's getting hugs off everybody. He seemed really happy. I saw Virgil van Dijk having a good laugh with him. So he's clearly well-liked, and I think his teammates want him to do well. He was very good with Tyler Morton, I thought, throughout the game. He was constantly sort of pulling him over, talking to him. So he takes that side of the game seriously as well, clearly. So, yeah, I just really, really hope that this is the start of something for Thiago, because if he performs to the levels that we've seen in the past for Bayern Munich, he could become a very important player for Liverpool.
You get the impression that his influence is growing, even, you know, being put for the pre-match press conference, Kiva, and speaking post-match. He looks comfortable and assured. He looks a very important part of the squad, and he speaks so well.
Yeah, I think, you know, listening to him speak after the game and just any time, really, you do realise, you know, what a professional he is. Straight away, he just did that. You know, it was fantastic for the team. And everyone just wanted to know, like, have you just scored that? And he was just like, don't know, you know, just, yeah, you know, the team, that's the main thing. And I think BT asked him, didn't he, and if he'd scored a better one. And I think he said, yeah, probably, or something, which, you know, he probably has scored a better goal. Let's run it back and look through the archives here. There's probably a better Thiago goal out there, but, you know, it feels like he'll never score a better one. But it's kind of like when Salah scored against City and Watford. Like, against City, you knew he was going to score a better goal again at some point, and then he almost did. Thiago feels like one of those players. He definitely feels that way with his passing. You know, that somehow he's just going to play a pass that was more beautiful than the last one. What sticks out for me was during the Euros, when I think Spain had knocked out, I can't even remember who it was now, on penalties, and Thiago played a bit part role. He hardly played at all, much to probably his own frustration, but didn't ever let on. That was never a big thing, that he wasn't in that midfield for Spain. And I think he went over to like a young player who I can't remember now who it was. It might have been Switzerland. Did they knock out Switzerland after Switzerland beat France? I think that's what it was, because I'm pretty sure Shaqiri was there. And Thiago just, you know, got this young lad and was just chatting to him for ages. And I feel like, Si mentioned there, you know, we think about Jordan Henderson, James Milner, and, you know, these pros that are going to have such a you know, a lasting impact at Liverpool, and, you know, be able to give players like Tyler Morton their experiences and help them through and stuff. We've got Thiago there who's, you know, been there, done it, seen it all across Europe. So, you know, to have him there, I think, is incredible. And, you know, off the pitch, as much as, you know, we seen it all, didn't we, last night on it. He's a remarkable player and a remarkable man, it seems.
And I think, as you both just alluded to, and Si, you were saying about watching him with his teammates, when he scored the goal, there really wasn't any of the team that didn't come up to him and share in like a prolonged bit of sort of joy with him.
Again, I mean, the game had very little, had no sporting consequence for Liverpool. They were going to finish top of the group no matter what happens in the next two games. But that goal was celebrated like, you know, it was a goal in the quarter final, you know, against big opposition. And as you said, every single player, outfield player, was over there celebrating with him. You could tell, I mean, he had a right old good time after the ball flew into the net. And I just sort of felt, you know, that sort of moment and the performance by Liverpool just reminds, they're going to be very difficult to stop in Europe, I think, this season. I mean, it's quite interesting the way European football's changed, I think, over the last 10, 15 years, whereby in the past you've had to really be able to defend well in Europe and pick up good results away from home through your defensive performances. But I actually think you need a bit more of that in the Premier League now, to be honest, to be able to... So the teams that tend to win the league, that, as from Liverpool's experience, you know, you can grind. You need to grind out 5 or 6, maybe even 7 or 8, sort of very close 1-0, 2-1 wins at times. In the Champions League, it seems like so many goals are going in, and particularly when Liverpool attack the way they do, the momentum that they get playing towards the cop, scoring goals like that, you know, reminds me a bit of Thiago's goal, reminds me a little bit of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's goal against, I think it was Man City in 2017-18, if you remember. It flew into the back of the net. I just think Liverpool are set up for the Champions League this season. I think it tends to be that the team that has the best attacking capabilities have the best chances in this competition now, and very few teams can compete with Liverpool when they click into gear up front. And that was evident again last night, because I think at half time it just seemed like it was going to sort of peter out to 0-0, and suddenly goal goes in. Just looks like Liverpool are going to score every time they go forward. And the crowd, what I love about sort of the Liverpool crowd is, you know, they've obviously had some great experiences in the Champions League the last three or four seasons. You know, some unbelievable nights, but it still just always feel like that appetite is there to become the European champions again. It's an absolute obsession. And you felt it again last night. As soon as the goal went in, atmosphere was buzzing, full house at Anfield. They are going to be very, very difficult to stop, I think, in the competition this year. I'd be surprised if one of the top three clubs in England don't win it. You know, Liverpool, City, Chelsea, the three of them just seem a bit higher than the other teams in Europe at the moment.
Sixteen games consecutively that Liverpool have scored two or more goals, which equals an 82-year record. They can't stop in front of goal at the moment.
No, and it feels like the good seasons that Liverpool have, they do this along the way. They just break bizarre records that none of us have ever heard of before. Kind of like Mo Salah, that's what he does week in and week out. Liverpool are doing that now, and you always feel like when they're on one of those runs of just breaking these, you know, 82-year-old records and such, you feel like at the end of that season, surely there's a pot of gold there waiting for them in the form of a trophy of some kind. And like Si said there, you do feel there's just such a hunger for the European Cup with Liverpool fans. The league, obviously, you know, is massive, but you felt that last night. They want to win trophies, and I think as well they know that this side is capable of that. And I do feel like if you look towards next summer, you kind of think, you know, this team's together now, a couple of players might leave, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, you know, when Wijnaldum left, it was kind of like, you know, the starting of the breaking up of this Jurgen Klopp squad. Obviously, you know, not massively so, but, you know, that sort of team that brought us all the joy is still bringing us all the joy and will continue to do this season. Even though, as we've mentioned many times on the podcast, no one really took Liverpool too seriously coming into this season, which has probably worked quite well for them, I think, just going under the radar. I mean, even though this is a team who handle pressure very well, you know, there have been one or two performances, I think, in the league that have just been not the best. Obviously, Brentford, Brighton, and losing to West Ham. But then they put in performances like against United at Old Trafford and against Arsenal. You know, we were all kind of worried about that game a little bit, thinking, oh, Arsenal are 10 games unbeaten coming into this. And, you know, Liverpool just stepped it up a little gear. And you feel like the goals that they're scoring is only going to help that, because when that sort of dries up, as we know it can and it did, and it does sometimes in January when Liverpool seem to struggle a little bit, that's, I think, when you worry a bit. But, you know, a massive period of fixtures coming up now. It's about 11 games in the next month or something, isn't there? 12 games in just over a month. So, you know, the demands on that on the players, you know, for all teams in the league is just incredible. So, you know, we'll see how they come out of this, but going into it, they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, and with Mo's form, I mean, it's almost like we're taking this for granted now. 17 goals in 17 games. It's sort of like a customary thing, isn't it, Si, that he should score in every game? And almost if he doesn't score in a game, it's a bit like, what on earth's going on?
It's a surprise, yeah. I mean, the only performance or game where he hasn't looked like scoring was West Ham, where obviously Liverpool, I thought, were really poor that day. But, you know, you could argue that he didn't get the service that he thrives upon. But, you know, last night he just quietly scored another great goal in front of the cup. You know, just like, you know, it's a matter of routine now, really. So I don't think he gets anywhere near enough credit for how his game's developed, really. You know, he's a much more rounder. We've spoken about it before in little bits, but I just think his game's so much more rounded than it was when he arrived at Liverpool. It feels like he's weirdly become a more skillful player as well. You know, he sort of...
Self-confidence? Rising even higher?
Yeah, it could be confidence. I mean, some of his touches, you know, plucking the ball out the sky, sort of the way he turns past players, the way he is able to bring other players into the game. I just think he's a very different sort of player to the one that arrived 4 years ago. I just love watching them play, just top class. I mean, me and Kiva were sitting next to each other at Anfield last night, and again, this comes down to, I don't know if it's fair to describe it as sort of leadership or guidance, but he was having a chat with Tyler Morton just before the game kicked off. It was quite clear what Salah was saying to him. He said, if you see me in space or the spacing behind the defence, you knock it over the top and I'll get after it. It seemed he was like sort of making that sort of arching sort of pass hand signal to him, and they were talking at length. So again, you know, I thought that was quite impressive. Without knowing exactly what was being said, it seemed like he was giving him some guidance. I just love watching him play. And as you said, Steve, I do think we sort of, almost a lot of people do sort of take for granted, you know, his achievements. I mean, I really hope that Liverpool get him pinned down to a contract and keep him, because at the moment he's the go-to man for the team. And I think he's the sort of player that if Liverpool are going through a bit of a rough patch in a game, you know, particularly, I think he's more than capable of heaving Liverpool out of their problems and scoring a goal that can change the context of a game. So, got to get that sorted. I just hope they do.
Yeah, he's the superstar who we all know. And the young superstar who we're getting to know a lot of is Tyler Morton. So, we'll talk with you, Simon, an article you've written in a moment. Go to Kiva, first of all. Becoming a bit of a familiar sight for Liverpool fans. But I just looked on his Twitter then. You've got more followers than him, Kiva, at the moment. So, despite him playing in the Premier League and the Champions League, he's still someone who's sort of building a bit of a reputation. But that Champions League debut was pretty impressive. And Liverpool fans, he's very much on their lips now.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm sure he'll surpass me on Twitter pretty soon. His Instagram followings, I think, well over 100,000. So, you know, he'll be a player towards the end of the season. You'd imagine if he continues on this trajectory, his social will probably, you know, rocket towards a million. But yeah, just a phenomenal young player. And I think, you know, he sort of surprised a lot of people because, you know, coming into the season, probably people hadn't really heard of him. If you watch academy football, you know about him. He was the player last season who, you know, guided Liverpool, helped guide them to the FA Youth Cup final, scored a goal against Man United to knock them out along the way. You know, his qualities are there to see when you watch him. But I was thinking this, like, if he would have played yesterday for Liverpool's under-19s in the UEFA Youth League, you would have thought, oh, brilliant game, Tyler Morton. And sometimes it's hard to sort of, you know, picture those players on that pitch at Kirby and just plucking them out and putting them into, you know, playing for the first team. And certain players you sometimes don't know, would they just go right into it or would they just look very out of place? And he's one who just, you know, that's going to just, you know, be ushered into that side and look great. And I think, you know, Jürgen Klopp, Pep Linders, everyone has that belief about Tyler Morton. And, you know, just a really nice night for him. You know, a local lad, he's from Wallasey on the Wirral, you know, grew up playing football here for Greenlees. Then obviously was picked up by Liverpool along with, you know, a few other players, Sean Wilson and Max Waltman. I think they're still at Liverpool's academy. And Max Waltman scored yesterday against Porto and then, you know, was at Anfield to watch his teammate, lifelong teammate, play for Liverpool. And, you know, you see all the posts from the young lads, they're all happy for Tyler. You know, you've seen Jordan Henderson's post to him as well, the selfie that he put up. It's just a really nice story and a nice one for his family. And these debuts will long be remembered, but he'll go on to play a lot of games for Liverpool, you feel. There's a lot of excitement about him. And he just looked so assured last night in everything he did. And obviously he played that long ball over the top to help, you know, Salah on his way before he scored. So yeah, just a really good footballer.
Right, another reminder to celebrate Black Friday. Take advantage of the best deal of the year. Subscribe to The Athletic for a special price of just £1 a month for a full 12 months. Hurry though, that offer ends at midnight on Monday, November the 29th. So go to theathletic.com/LiverpoolPod to take advantage of the best deal ever. We were going to ask the guys to pick out an article online that they've enjoyed writing. Si's written about Tyler, so we'll go straight to this. So if you're listening to this pod now, you can probably log on and read it afterwards. What fascinates you so much about Tyler Morton and the way he's made an impact, Si?
Well, last night he became the sixth player in the Klopp era to have started playing for Liverpool at the club's pre-academy to then start a game in the Champions League, which is pretty incredible, really. I mean, obviously, recruiting at a very young age has been under the microscope for quite some time now in football generally, and I can understand why there are some criticisms of that process. But I suppose with that in mind, you know, Liverpool's success, it does show that there can be a pathway for these players who attach themselves and stick at it for a very long time. I mean, Tyler Morton had been training with Liverpool before he signed a contract. Liverpool were unable to sign him up at the time because of the rules. He's also been training at Everton. And I believe that when Liverpool decided to sign him, they went to his dad, Scott, and said, you know, now is time. And the family were quite relieved because they got the impression, I think, that Everton were going to push hard and, you know, they're a family of Liverpoolians, so he wanted to be at Liverpool. All the people that I speak to at the academy pretty much say the same thing. I don't think it's them being on message, it's just the way he is. He's always been one of, if not the best player in each of his age groups. Never gives the ball away, likes the dirty side of the game as well. But at this point in his career, he's still 19. There's a sort of feeling that he needs to beef up a little bit and become more of an athlete. I think that somebody said to me that there was a similarity with Trent in that when he was sort of, even his first season at Liverpool, really, as a first team player, Trent wasn't the athlete that he is now. You see him, his body's changed a lot, and I think that's the next stage for Tyler Morton. It was quite nice, actually. I finished the piece on this little observation, but as I just left the ground last night, I was walking up to the car park where I saw you, Steve, cruising around and Tyler was just coming out of the ground, so it's about an hour and 20 minutes after the final whistle with his family. They've got all sorts of bags seemingly of some filled with memorabilia from the day, and he was just wearing a black Nike tracksuit and nobody recognized him. Nobody recognised him at all. I just went past, thought, that's Tyler Morton. I've just been watching him play 90 minutes in a red shirt for Liverpool. And he just come out, I think, sort of, it might have been a side door, you know, where the bus was going, it seemed to me anyway. I might be wrong. He was coming from that direction of the ground. And he was just walking around, you know, sort of quietly going back to the car. And quite funny, really, because I watched Steven Gerrard, the documentary about Steven Gerrard yesterday for a bit of research. It's a really great documentary, actually. I love watching it. It takes you up to a point where he's just made his first team debut for Liverpool. And his dad, after the game, says, look, you know, nobody can ever take that away from you now. You've played for Liverpool's first team at Anfield. I know, obviously, Morton's made his debut, but this was his first start in the Champions League. And Gerrard says, you know, from that point onwards, his life's just changed. Now, I understand that, you know, that their career is very different in the sense that I think at the time Liverpool were in a big period of transition under Gerard Houllier. When Gerrard came in, things are looking a bit better for Liverpool at the moment, it's fair to say. But you know, his life will change, and he's just got that sweet spot at the moment, I think, whereby he can walk the streets and people won't recognise him. You know, if he does kick on and become the player that people hope he might, I don't think he'd be able to quietly disappear from Anfield under the cover of darkness, even if it is under the cover of darkness, should I say, for too much longer.
Si, that's why I mentioned the social media following, because I was a bit surprised that I thought he'd sort of exploded from last night onto the scene, but maybe he still has a few weeks of that. Well, is that really Tyler Morton? Or?
Yeah, well, I wonder. I mean, I wonder whether it's just a reflection of the team and the time as well. You know, Liverpool fans have got a number of players to love at the moment, haven't they, in the first team. There's so many players that people are fascinated by. I sometimes think that sort of the focus on the academy is sharper in the leaner times because you're hoping for a young player, you know, ideally a local player who embodies the spirit of the club to come through and almost save the team. Whereas at the moment, that isn't a requirement. So I suppose that might explain that to some degree, but you know, there's a lot of focus on the academy at the moment. And I've got to be honest, I mean, I did not know that much about Tyler Morton until about 6 months ago when I saw him for the first time. And I just thought, oh, he looks a good player, him. And I think Thiago, I mean, sort of some of his comments, which Kiva very kindly forwarded to me after the game, where he said when he saw him at training for the first time, he was like, you know, who is this player? He looks pretty good. And I've been really impressed by him. I think if he keeps on developing, he could become a first team player for Liverpool.
In your piece, Kiva, you referenced the fact that obviously Pepe's on the pitch, he's 38, and Tyler's just starting out at 19, isn't he? What's your thoughts on how much more we'll expect to see from him from here, Kiva?
I think, you know, what a week for him, you know, making his Premier League debut and then his Champions League debut. I think he will continue to sort of feature in and around the squad. He'll definitely be training with them a lot more permanently now, kind of like what we seen last season with Leighton Clarkson and Jake Kane. Obviously, both of those players are out on loan at Blackburn and Newport, respectively. So they were the players last season that we were all kind of looking at. And Tyler was sort of one that people didn't look at in that way, I guess. But probably those at the club were thinking they had him sort of pegged for, you know, he's the next one coming through. A lot of excitement building around him whenever you speak to anyone about him. And, you know, just mature performances at the academy week after week. So you'd expect that he'll, you know, probably drop into some of those games, which will be a nice treat for us who are braving the cold of Kirby. He's made that step up, hasn't he, into sort of being a first team player. So the hunger now that he must have, just to, he's tasted it, so he'll want to keep it and he'll want to do more. He'll want to look back at the end of this season and have made 10 or more, 20, like, you know, from off the bench, whatever it may be. And he can be that player. And when you think about, you know, we know it was a dead rubber last night, but even against Arsenal, Liverpool were cruising there, so he comes on for his debut. But, you know, Liverpool in recent weeks before this, the midfield was going down a bit. You know, after Brighton, I was getting a bit worried thinking, Liverpool have any midfielders here? You know, they were all sort of dropping like flies with different injuries. You know, now they're sort of bolstered up again, and still he's getting time in this squad, so it can, and in this team, so I think that really bodes well for him. And like Si says, if a player like Thiago is saying who's this kid when he turns up to training, then, you know, I think he'll continue to go along that path, and he'll just be looking forward to the next time he can play in Liverpool red, until it becomes when he's just, you know, a dependable Liverpool player. That's what he'll want. But, you know, that's a fight that he's going to have to keep fighting for, you know, however many years to come now.
Well, hopefully he's got a brilliant path ahead of him. Just a quick look ahead to the weekend. Obviously, Southampton, a couple of players back involved. Si, there's Andy Robertson got on the pitch last night. That was great. Sort of brilliant run from him, sort of demonstrating what we love about Andy. And Jordan as well. So Kiva just mentioned there about, you know, midfield options. It seems like there's a fortune in no injuries out of that Porto game, and maybe some more squad members to choose from now for Jurgen.
Yeah, well, I think he has ultimately got a little bit lucky, because if any of the players get injured, he was going to end up getting criticism for fielding them. And don't get me wrong, I would have questioned. I mean, I still do, as I said at the beginning, sort of do question the wisdom of playing, particularly the two, the goalkeeper and the defender. Yeah, so he's going to need a full squad of players available to combat what is to come in December. I mean, I saw the bench against Arsenal, obviously brilliant win over Arsenal. Liverpool were well in control and fully deserved to win. But I looked at the bench and I was thinking, not much experience to be had on that when you're sort of facing an intense run of fixtures. So they do need those players to be coming back, and they need availability. I mean, availability is everything in football, really, I would say now. I think it's going to be the difference between who wins the league and who finishes second, third and fourth, really. Well, second and third. I think the top three, to be honest, is pretty much nailed on to be who it is at the moment: Chelsea, Liverpool and City. But I think you can't really separate those teams. I think they've all got different weaknesses, different strengths. They're all very good in their own right. It's about who keeps the players fit for longest. And I mean, I'm not going to go on about AFCON now, but I think that is going to be a major challenge for Liverpool in January. Particularly, you know, they've got Chelsea away at Stamford Bridge You know, you can't be afford to be losing that game. Certainly not, I suspect. But anyway, a lot of games to go between now and then. It was promising, I thought, last night. It was just another performance where you think, you know, Liverpool aren't far off.
Oh, I thought you had another line to say, Si, but we'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
No, I just thought I'd leave it hanging.
We'll leave it hanging. Just another shout out to the Black Friday deal. Take advantage of the best deal of the year. Subscribe to The Athletic. Special price of £1 a month for 12 months. That offer ends on Monday, 29th of November. Great analysis, great in-depth features. We mentioned a couple of them there from the guys. And I should mention, brilliant piece that Si's done as well on players and social media. And actually sort of who controls players' social media. That's well worth a read. At the moment, head to theathletic.com/Liverpool Pod. Take advantage of the best deal ever. Theathletic.com/Liverpool Pod. Thank you, Simon Hughes and Kiefer O'Neill. And the Red Agenda's back after the weekend.